the little book of Jude. Remember what we called it? The final exam.
Yes,
this is the final exam. Just before the church is taken out of here, this is the final exam. And Jude is giving us some dire instruction.
Yes.
Some extremely needed instruction. Showing us that there are those who have crept in unawares. That means that God's people didn't recognize them when they came in. And as I've said so often before, how much so we need to pray for God to give us a spirit of discernment in these last days. We need it now worse than we ever needed it before. The church has never needed the spirit of discernment as it does today. And the reason is because we're near the end, folks. This thing's about over. We're about to get our wings, if you will. God has given us the warning to be careful. Watch. Be aware that not everything that poses as a sheep is a sheep. Not everything that poses as an under-shepherd is an under-shepherd. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It's a terrifying thing that many, like Korah, have tried to take the place of the pastor, the priesthood, so to speak, without the call. And if you try to take it without the call, you're a thief and a robber and a deceiver. But many, many have followed after those who are not called. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can excite the soul of man. But they can't touch the spirit. God's men don't just excite the soul. But they excite the spirit. That spirit comes alive. Something happens when God comes on the scene. When the good Holy Ghost manifests Himself and declares, this is so, this is so, this is so. Come with me to verse number 16, the book of Jude. These are the same these that we've talked about before. These are those that have crept in unawares, remember?
Yes.
Jude introduced them. They were creepers. These are murmurers. Mark the words now. Complainers. Walking after their own lust. They're walkers. Their mouth speaks great swelling words. They are orators. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They are admirers. Five things in this verse are said about these apostates. These who act like externally that they are a part of the flock. These are those that Jesus said would put on the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul warns us of them. Simon Peter warns us of them. Here Jude warns us of them. And Simon Peter and Jude's words are muchly the same, telling us about these who have come among us. They're a part of the visible, but not a part of the spiritual church. I hope you understand that there is a major difference between the visible church and the spiritual church. The visible church is many, made up of multitudes. The spiritual church is made up of a few. I have Bible for that, don't you? Few there be that find it. Few there be that go in thereat. This straight gate, following the narrow way. The crowd goes the other way. I heard it said twice this week. The people are never wrong. I'd like to correct that. The people are never right. Did you folks hear that? The Prime Minister of Canada, the defeated one, made that statement, the people are never wrong. I thought, how wrong you are. We can see that in the last two elections in America. How wrong the people have been. But may I say something to you without apology? This book is never wrong. God is never wrong. Those who have crept in unawares, Jude says they are murmurers. Now, there are several descriptions given in this little book of these apostates. In verse number 4, there are 3 descriptions given us. In verse number 8, there are 5 things said of them. In verse number 10, there are 2 things said of them. Verse number 11, there are 3. Verse number 12, there are 4. Verse number 13, 2 again. Verse number 16, 5 again. And verse number 19, 2. That's a pretty good description, isn't it? I mean, if there's ever been anything that would take the brush and paint the picture of the apostate on the wall, and surely on the canvas of our mind as we study this marvelous book, the Holy Ghost is painting the picture of the apostate on the canvas of our minds.
Yes, sir.
We should never make the mistake of not identifying them. Let's look at Jude's words. He said they are murmurers. Murmurers have been around for a long time. Back in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the children of Israel are murmurers. For the most part, murmurers are against man. But then God says that they have murmured against Him. And therefore you will not go into the land. You will not possess the land. Because not only had they murmured against God's men, but they'd murmured against God in doing so. Here is an awesome thing. And yet, many of us have been guilty of doing the very thing that's mentioned in this text. Murmuring against the man of God. And we may not always like what the man of God does, but we didn't hire him. We didn't call him. My brother and I, though we are womb fellows in 2 cents, we're not alike. There are several differences. We don't handle the service alike. Some may not like what I do. Some may not like what he does. But what we've got to understand is someone else hired us. Someone else called us. And he called us the way we are. You see, God knows our uprisings and our downsettings. God knows that we have our own little idiosyncrasies. Now, I always thought I didn't have any. And then I listened to myself preach a few times, and I said, my soul, boy, you have some problems. I'd like to correct all of those. And when I notice something, I ask God to help me get this out of the way. And for the most part, He has. But yet there's still some things, I'm sure, that are there. Now you can murmur and complain about that, but it's not going to change the situation. Korah and his crowd murmured against Moses and Aaron, but it didn't change the fact that God had put Moses and Aaron in charge. They'd have been a lot happier. Things had gone a whole lot better for them had they not complained and murmured about the circumstances. But they murmured in their tents. Do you understand what that means? They went home and had the preacher for dinner. I used to tell folks in the church in Florida, your children ought to be getting fat. You've had so much preacher to eat for dinner. Surely they're getting fat. God's men are God's men. Let's get this in our head tonight. God's men are God's men. They're not your men. And for the most part, most of them are so hard-headed, including myself, that if you said something to try to change it, it never changed. Do you know how you change the preacher? Talk to his boss. Talk to God about it. Amen. Let God show him the things that are wrong. And in doing so, then it'll change and it'll be a permanent change. But the murmuring for the most part is against the men of God. Against the house of God. Against the things of God. Against the movement of the Spirit of God. I don't like that. If you don't like the little dance I do, just stay around. I'll do another one for you. I enjoy shouting. I enjoy praising the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit gives me that little unction to do so, I'm going to do it if a higher lips hell. God's people ought to get over being embarrassed that God shows up. Why in the world would you be embarrassed when God shows up? Well, I just don't react like that, preacher. Well, you're going to have a lot of catching up to do when you get to glory. I'd like to get there in the eighth grade anyway. Say amen right there. I don't want to go to the primer and have to learn it all and understand. I'd rather go to glory shouting so I don't have to catch up on all that. Enjoy God down here so you'll have a little inkling of what's going on when you get there. If you're embarrassed by shouting down here, you're going to really be embarrassed where I'm going, because you're going to find yourself doing it. I don't know where, and I don't even know why I'm saying this. Angie, you help me. Just pray for me, will you? I'm trying to get this out. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but listen, let me tell you something. If it embarrasses you to raise your hands before God, if it embarrasses you to say praise the Lord, if it embarrasses you to say amen, then you better check your robe. You may have stretched the sheepskin over you and tried to be something you're not. Do you know how much difference it makes to the fellow next to you if you shout or not? Not one little bit in this world if they know the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, if somebody's shouting near me, I'm saying, Lord, let that spill off over here a little bit. Don't be ashamed of the manifestation of the glory of God in your presence. Listen, it is a great mercy that God meets with us. It's a great mercy that God comes where we are. Don't murmur about it. Enjoy it. Murmurers. Then he talks about complainers. Have you ever complained? Don't raise your hand. But have you ever complained? I've noted something in my little pilgrimage here. I've noted that the older we get, the more we find things to complain about. I've had to pray a lot about that where I'm concerned. Lord, forgive me for complaining. We are a blessed people. Do you understand that as a church of God, we are blessed beyond that of Israel? Even in the glory days of Israel, we are blessed far beyond that. And for some reason or the other, we'll find something to complain about. Let me just ask you this. Have you complained today? Have you found something to complain about today? Most of us, as we grow older and our bodies begin to ache, we start complaining about this and that and the other. Now, I know you're just informing people. That's what you're doing. Do you understand that people don't care if you ache? They really don't give a flying rip whether you hurt or not. And all you're doing is just laboring their eardrums when you're telling them how bad you hurt. You know what we need to learn to do? Someone says, how you doing? The other night, folks shaking my hand said, how you doing? I'm fine. So saved, it's pitiful. Just announce the truth. Tell them about it. Rather than complaining, say, God's good. You never go wrong in saying that. God's good. God's good. You may be feeling bad. And I don't know any of us that haven't felt bad one time or another. But we complain about our aches and our pains, and we complain about our station in life. Oh, I wish that I'd have done this. I wish I was up there where they are. No, you don't. No, you don't. The providence of God has placed you where you are. Now listen carefully. When you complain about your station in life, you're complaining against the act of God Almighty in His divine providence. You know what all of us need to do? Let me just give you a little hint as to what all of us, including myself, need to do tonight. We need to resign as king of this universe, our queen of this universe. So, Brother Larry, what do you mean? I mean, you just need to resign and realize that somebody else is in charge and you can't fix it, you can't change it. You where you are, stay where you are, enjoy God where you are, and bless His holy name that He's put you where you are. And resign as the king of eternity. You can't fix it. I'd like to think that there's a lot of things that we could change. And I'm not saying that we're to sit down and let hell pop around us. We're to fight it with everything. This word starts off with contending for the faith. That means fighting for what's right. But there's some things you're not going to change. God has allowed it to be so, and we're not going to change this fact. Do you suppose that the children of Israel down in Egypt, when the Pharaohs came along that didn't know Joseph and put the children of Israel in bondage, do you suppose the children of Israel thought, boy, we need to fix it? And when they tried to fix it, the bondage got worse and worse until God sent a deliverer. Now, I just told you something. What we need to do is pray tonight for God to send us a deliverer. And if God sends us a deliverer, things will get better. Things will change. Our station in life will be a lot easier. But our complaining will not change it. Our complaining, for the most part, is against God. Oh, you say, but it's indirectly. But indirectly still gets there, doesn't it? We complain about our looks. Boy, I wish I had more hair. If I had more hair, I'd just have to spend more time trying to comb it. What would I want with more hair? I've got a good-looking head. When all these spots clear up where they burnt cancers off the other day, it'll look a whole lot better. Why do we complain? You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, boy, I wish that bump wasn't there. I wish that knot wasn't there. I wish that whatever it is wasn't there. I wish my nose wasn't as broad as it is. Well, you need to talk to your forefathers about that. Listen, there's no need to complain about things that you can't change. Now, if you're going to complain about your nose, go to the plastic surgeon rather than just be a complainer. Spend your hard-earned money and narrow your nose so it can whistle when you walk. Enjoy the position God placed you in. Enjoy the face God gave you. He may have given you a face to scare the kids. They need to be scared once in a while. When the wrinkles start forming, one of our friends, one of our ex-church members from years ago, we were over in Alabama a while back and she came to visit with us and we were talking about wrinkles and she said, I don't worry about wrinkles. She said, when I see a wrinkle appear, I just eat more and it disappears. Listen to me. God's people need to learn not to be complainers. Listen to me. Look up here at me. Do you know no one likes a complainer? Amen. Your mama don't even like you. When you start coming around, they start going around. You wonder why you meet somebody in the grocery store and you see them and they see you and they go the other way? Because they're tired of hearing you complain. God's little young'uns, look what we have, sweetheart. Look where we are. Look where we're headed. Look what God's given us down inside. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't be despondent about your position in life. Glory to God. God thought enough of you to remember you.
We're all getting older. Even my great-grandkids are getting older. Bryson said on the way over here tonight, he said, my birthday's in 3 days. I had a little. That boy's getting older. You know what that means to his great-grandpa? That means his great-grandmother is getting older. I enjoy those great-grandchildren. And it'd be all right with me if God lets me live long enough to enjoy my great-great-grandchildren. Mama's lived that long. But the thing that bothers me about that is I'd have to live with a great-great-grandmother. Honestly, think with me for just a moment. Now, honestly, I want you to get in a spiritual vein. Think with me for a moment. Do you really have anything to complain about? I tell you what we all ought to do right now. We ought to ask God. God, the next time my mind starts to complain, remind me of what I have. I'm 72 years old. I don't have a limp. I don't have a pain in my body that keeps me from doing what I want to do. I can see. I can hear. God's still giving me my voice. I still have my teeth. They're not store-bought. They're real. Are you listening to me? And down inside, God Almighty has placed His Spirit.
Amen.
What do I have to complain about? God help me not to complain. God remind me of who You are, and especially who You are to me, so I do not complain. Murmurers and complainers. And then He says that they are walkers. And they walk according to their own indulgences without any restrictions whatsoever. Listen carefully to this. There is a group of Baptists who believe as we believe to an extreme. That nothing is wrong. And whatever they want to do, they can do it. They feed their lustful appetite, no matter what it is, with absolutely no inhibition. But it's all right, because grace. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Along with grace comes holiness. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them that denying, watch the words, ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And then He tells us why. Looking for the Lord Jesus to come.
Yes.
Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to grow in grace.
Yes.
Every time I trained a pilot to fly, and he got his license, I'd look him in the face and say, now you have a license to learn to fly. Don't ever think that you know it all. There'll be circumstances come that you'll have to learn what to do in the circumstance. Grace is a license to grow in grace. Walking after their own lust. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. My next footprint is going to be where I want to put my footprint. I've used this little illustration since I don't know when. But Dad and I'd go to the barn in the wintertime to milk, feed the varmints. As we'd start up the hill, Dad would say, now son, if you put your foot where mine is, you won't fall down. And he'd make them big old footprints, and I'd step into his footprints and get onto the barn. But one day I decided I wanted to see my footprint in the snow. See, I'd seen Daddy's, but I hadn't made my footprint. So I wanted to see my footprint in the snow. And instead of setting my foot in Daddy's step, I put it off to the side of Daddy's.
And when I did, I fell face first into the snow, and my daddy had to pick me up. And he said, "Son, if you put your foot where my footprint is, you won't fall." I was just a little fella. I didn't see the spiritual significance in that. But today I thank God for that little illustration. For the Lord has said, put your footprint in the path that I have trod. God will never send you anywhere He hasn't been beforehand. And you'll notice His footprints all the way. Oh God, help me to walk the path that You've trod first. Walking after our own lust identifies us as apostates. Believing with their mouth and their tongue speak spiritual words, but their heart has never had a spiritual birth. Then He speaks of orators. Look how this thing is said. And their mouths speak great swelling words. Can I tell you something that may surprise you? The gospel is simple. Simplicity magnifies the truth. All of these great swelling words of the orators don't do anything but confuse the simple. I made up my mind years ago. I want every person to leave the house of God where I've preached knowing what's been said. I don't want them to leave wondering, what did he say? What was he talking about? If you can't understand it, it won't do you any good. In reality, those orators that use the great swelling words are doing nothing in the world but trying to show you that they know more than you do and you need to look up to them. They're apostates. Trying to take the place of God. Trying to seek the worship of man because of their orations. Do you understand that it really, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference what the man says, if the Holy Ghost doesn't unctionize it and take it and send it into your heart, that it's absolutely useless? Oh God, I'd rather be a stammering fool and be able to tell others about the love of God and the good grace of God than I would to be an orator that could use the flowery words of all the educators of the world and leave the people void of any understanding. The message of grace is simple. Ye must be born again. It's simple. It's not the work of the preacher, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. And many a preacher would be much better off if he could learn that truth. It's not your words. It is the Holy Ghost that brings the harvest. That thrills the soul, unctionizes our spirit, and causes us to look upward. Orators. And then there's that crowd of admirers. They admire the person. Didn't Paul tell us we were not to show partiality? Aren't we extremely wrong when we coy up to someone just to get their smile or maybe something else that they could give us? Admiring people for our own advantage. Letting folks think that they're really loved, when in reality our only purpose is to try to coy up to them so we can glean something from them. I learned a long time ago, God Almighty is going to take care of His own. We don't need anything they've got, do we?
not anything. We'd like to have your love. We'd like to have your appreciation. We'd like to see a smile once in a while. We'd love to have your fellowship in the Spirit. But outside of that, there's nothing you have that I want. My God will supply my need according to His riches in glory. His bank is not broke. As a matter of fact, there are so few withdrawals that there is an overabundance. So what I want to do, if you don't want to make a withdrawal, I'd like to make your withdrawal for you. I'd just like to get those blessings for myself. So God opened the windows and just poured out on this old boy. Poured out all a surplus. Just poured out on me. That that's left because others are not getting it, send it my way. I want the blessing of God more than I want your smile, more than I want your handshake, more than I want your love. I want the blessing of God. If God will bless me, and He does, if God will bless me, then I can face the onslaught. If I know He's near, the onslaught of hell, the darts are quenched. And all of that that would otherwise harm us spiritually doesn't affect us because we hear the voice of the shepherd and He's near. He's near. Jude says they're murmurers. They're complainers. They are walkers in their own way, after their own lust. Their mouths are speaking great swelling words, and they admire people. By the way, this is a hypocritical admiration. They really don't admire them. They just see them with a sucker mark over their head, and they think they can sucker them. Now, if you'd like to have a piece of my tie or my shirt that I wore when I was under the influence of the Holy Ghost, it's probably the influence of alcohol, but under the influence of the Holy Ghost, then send me $10 and I'll send you a piece of my shirt. You know what that rascal's doing? He's seeing suckers over the head of every one of those who send him $10. And if you've done it, you're a sucker. Hello? Let me borrow one of Steve McQueen's words. Duck, you sucker! You need to be ducking your head and asking God to forgive you for being so stupid dumb. God give us a discerning spirit. In these closing hours of this dispensation, God give us a discerning spirit. Do you know that the flesh drives the majority of believers in our age, and they're looking for something to entertain that flesh and excite that flesh rather than something spiritual. They're not interested in anything that'll make you think holy. And don't you think for one minute that a lot of folks don't shout to do away with conviction. Hello? Now, I'll tell you right now, I'd like to lead the parade shouting. But I know that a lot of folks shout and rejoice in the flesh in order to try to silence the convicting Spirit of God down inside. Let me go a step further. Many a church provides activities for folks who are under conviction so they can stay busy enough to where they won't feel that convicting hand of God because of their sin. Don't you think for a minute that all this hullabaloo in assemblies across this country is not designed to do away with the conviction of the Holy Ghost. If we can give you somewhere you can play, you won't pray. If we'll give you something to do, then you won't listen. You'll be too busy to listen. And when we get too busy to listen, we're far too busy. And our spiritual growth goes to zero. The description of these who are bound for the judgment of God. You read with me the first verses, didn't you? I mean, it's already predetermined. Their judgment is set. Nothing's going to change that. God has set it to be so. Just as sure as you're saved, you're going to heaven, just as sure they're going to hell. Oh, but Brother Larry, I've prayed for them. Won't do any good. Did you hear what I said? It won't do any good. God has already set their judgment. You may as well pray for fallen angels. Now, I'm tearing somebody's little playground up right now, but just get in there and put your toes back in the sandbox. Let me talk to you for a minute. When God sets the judgment, you're not going to change it. What you need to be doing is praying, God, have mercy on us and don't let us be deceived by that crowd. Quit praying for fallen angels. Do you understand that our Lord said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me. You want to pray in the will of God? Pray for the believers. I've found it impressed by the Spirit of late to pray for the remnant. I don't think we're going to see a lot of folks saved in this day. The same gospel's being preached that we preach back yonder. I've seen the day. We've seen the day that they come in off the highway and run down the aisle and fall at the altar. Yeah. They're listening to us on the radio. I've seen the day the service would start and at midnight folks still be on the altar crying to God. Grown men and women screaming as they ran down the aisle to get to God. Same gospel is being preached. Same power of God. Didn't God say there'd be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God? Yes. It's upon us. The famine is upon us.